But when you have it in front of you, it's a little bit more helpful. You're able to study a little bit more. Last week's message, I spoke on the difference, or introductions was the difference between an organization and a organism and the value of it. We are both. We are an organization. We're organized. We have leadership. We have a pastor. We have a board, deacons, ushers, leadership, and we're organized in the way we do services. We have services, multi-services here and during the week and on Sunday. We are organized in such a manner that when time comes, we know what to do. We know we're going to sing some songs and be some announcements, time for preaching, and we try to make everything concise, everything on its timing, so we have plenty of time for the worship that's important to us, but also for the announcements, to get that, communicate all the information, all the activities that are happening, but we also want to give time for the word and for the message. We organize our services that way. So organization is important, but that's not who we totally are. We're also an organism. That is a life-giving body, a body that's living, a body that grows, that moves, that reproduces itself. We see the dynamic of life, and we are passing or transmitting life to each other. We are life that is connecting. When the Bible speaks of edification, that word there literally means the life coming together, life birthing, the edification of the church, the edification of a body, or the edification of a people. And that's what we are. That's why sometimes we'll ask you to get out of your seats, greet somebody, smile, or to get close to someone, because we want connection. We don't want to come to church and just be an island and say, well, I'm not going to greet nobody. Well, I'm not going to say hi. I'm moody right now. It's too early. I'm in church before 9 or before 10. But we want you to feel part of this church, and part of that is connecting. The reason we sing songs, the reason we make announcements, and we organize ourselves in the order of the service is to connect with you. I've noticed that there's certain weeks, some of us like certain type of songs, certain genres, certain singers, certain different praise and worship styles. And I notice that when they sing your song, man, you go all out. You worship God. When it's a new song, or some song you're barely getting used to, you're kind of just hoping there, finding yourself. Yeah, but I see you trying. I see you working it. But when your song comes on, man, we can't stop you. You raise your hands. You're maybe crying. And you're like hitting your neighbor. Oh, it's my song, girl. That's my song. Lift them up. And we start singing. We're worshiping. What are you doing? You're connecting. You're connecting to God. That song has connected to you. So part of organism is connecting. Why do we connect? Because when there's connection, there's life. When I connect with you, when you connect with God, when you connect with church, when you connect to the pulpit, life produces. There's a dynamic of life flowing. That's important to us as a church, as a pastor, as a congregation. We want life in the house. Nobody wants to be in a dead church. Nobody wants to be in a dead environment. We want life, and we want life to flourish and to grow. And that's one of the reasons we identify ourselves as an organism, having the dynamic of life. Life. God gives life. He gives life in abundance. He gives good life. He gives good things. And we're connected together. God blesses a church that's connected. Most of the Bible, the New Testament, when they write to these churches, many times they're dealing with issues because the church is divided. And anytime something's divided, life stops. When a marriage is divided, when the husband's here and the wife over here, life stops. When the parents are over here and the kids are over here, life ceases. When a church is divided, life stops. So one of our pushes, one of our emphasis as leadership, we want to be together. We want to worship together. We want to grow together. We want to do life together. And that's why we're here this morning. We don't just want to be organized, but we want to be an organism that we're growing, moving, and molding to whatever God is asking us to do. How many say amen? And there is a potential for great things when the church connects and there's life producing. I greet my brother. I get close to you. We come to a service and what are the comments? Wow, something's happening there. Well, what is it, brother? I don't know, but something's happening. I enjoyed that sermon. I enjoyed that service. What did you like? I don't know. I remember in Bible school, they would say, man, that brother tore it up. That man, that person preached. What did he preach about? I don't know, but it was good. That song was good. What song? I don't know, but it was good. Why? Because there's life. And when there's life, there's health. Church grows by itself because there's life there. And that's the structure. It's not just organization, but it's organism where we're able to expand and grow. The best model of that is found in Acts. Acts chapter 2, that's where I asked you to go. Chapter 2, verse 41 through 47, which is the church, the New Testament church. This is the first church. This is the church that was birthed out of the upper room. And this is the church that's on fire. This is the church that's dynamic. I've titled my sermon, The Dynamic Spirit-Filled Community. That's what we are. And we see that in the church in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. And they were baptized, receiving the word. And that day, about 3,000 were added to them. See, when life is happening, people come to it. And they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in their fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. Go to the next verse. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders, signs and wonders were done by the apostles. Again, life is happening. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions, their goods, and divided them among them all as anyone needed. So, continuing daily with one accord, notice, they came to the temple, breaking bread from house to house. See, life wasn't just happening at church. It was going to house to house. See, that's life. When you got God, God does so many. God doesn't just bless you here. God blesses you there and at home also. Life is happening. And they ate with gladness and with simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. What's the picture? What are we seeing here? Life is happening. Things are happening. I love to be part of something that's happening. Something's happening this morning. Something's happening today. Because life is in the house. Life is happening. Number one, I broke this thing down in four points here, and I'll go quickly because I'm long-winded. Don't say amen, especially from my wife, but I know I'm a little long-winded. She goes, you know, you only got an hour. I said, okay, prophet. When you're in a dynamic, spirit-filled community, the first thing you'll have is revelation. Acts 2:41 said, and they received the word. They receive the logos. They receive enlightenment, revelation, instruction. They receive God breath. God breathed revelation. God, the word there is pneuma. God breathed on it. They receive word and revelation. Not just information, but inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That word literally means it is an unveiling, removing the curtain, looking past the curtain, understanding what's on the other side. An inspiration of God's word, knowledge of God, understanding of God. You know what? We love you guys. We love you every time we see you, every Sunday, every time we see you. If I see you at the store, at the mall or something, somewhere outside of the church, you know, we love you. You are our church. We love you. We hope you love us. We hope you love this church. But our job is not just to preach to you so you can love us or love this congregation. Our job, our purpose, even this morning, the reason I'm up here is not so you could say I like the sermon or I like the service. The single purpose, the single most important purpose that I'm up here today is that we want you to fall in love with God. To know Him. To fall in love with Him. Now, if you love us and you love the church, that's extra. But we have failed God. And if you come here every Sunday, and you like the environment, but you don't have a connection with God, then we failed you. When you leave this place, I really want you to leave saying, man, every time I go there, I fall in love with Jesus more and more and more. We want you to love God. That is revelation. Removing the curtain and saying, that's the God I want. That's the God I serve. That's the God that has changed me. It is an unveiling. It is you leave with inspiration saying, wow, I needed that word. I needed to be at church this morning Because I went through something this week, and that word got to me. I hope you say, I came to church, and I got me some revelation. And I'm walking out of this place in victory. I put the sermons online, so I listen to them. I edit them. And Brother Moses is one of our preachers, too. And we've had different preachers come. And I'm like, wow, that's my favorite. Oh, no, this is my favorite. And no, just, you know why? Because there's revelation there. When there's revelation, you don't have to beg people to come. They come back because they're hungry and thirsty. And they come on time. Because they got to get that revelation. You're dragging. Now, when you need revelation, you're like, what time the church open? What time they're going to be? What time the song starts? And you're there on time, ready for that revelation, preparing your spirit, preparing your mind, preparing your heart, saying, God, I got to get that word. I got a tough week coming up. I'm going through something. My family's going through a battle, and I got to get that word so I can tell the devil know that I'm an overcomer and that I'm going to make it. I need revelation because that's where life begins. Begins with the word of God. God breathing on us. Revelation. Quickly, number two. Second thing I want you to see there is that they were relentless. A while back, my wife and I were... No, it was just me. There was a conference here. It was a group of leaders and pastors. And the preacher that was preaching that day has a mega church. I mean, I think he has like 10,000 members. Sergio de la Mora from... Those that know him from Chicago. And he says, I need to speak to your Hispanic pastors. I go, well, that's me. I'm right there. So he started preaching to us. And that brother was tearing us up and down. Why our churches are not growing? And why? And, you know, in me, I was like, I didn't come for this. You Californian Laker loving you. Disneyland going, you liberal state. I said, and he started tearing us up, calling us out. And I sat there, and the Holy Spirit hit me and said, that's you. I said, I didn't come for that. Tell me that I need to do this, study, and then. And everything in me wanted just to walk out. But that man was tearing me up. See, it was what I needed. It was revelation that my spirit, it was the medicine that I needed for that moment. Most of us don't like taking medicine, but it's good for us. And that's the revelation God has for you. Sometimes God has to tell you just the way it is. Saying, you're wrong. You know that's wrong. You know you shouldn't be there. You know you shouldn't have that attitude. You know that what you're doing is wrong. That's revelation coming to you and letting you know it's time for change. And you may not like it, but that revelation produces life. My wife and I were speaking of a young lady saying, well, we see her so down. I said, let's pray for her and talk to her. And she was so bubbly, but she went through something, and I said, I need to find out what she went through, because she was just so downcast. I mean, just somebody that would, you know, when you get around bubbly people, you know, they're contagious. When people are just alive. So I noticed this young lady was just downcast, even through worship service. I was like, ¿qué pasó? You know, what? I said, somebody probably put a negative seed in her. Somebody said something about her, about her family. Somebody put a negative seed in her spirit, in her mind. Somebody said something, and it changed her. Why do we need revelation? Because when you got a bad seed, you have to take it out and put a good seed. You have to take the bad and put in the good. When you take out the bad, there's a void. Now you got to fill that void with revelation. To let you know, I am more than, the reason we sang that song, I am more than a conqueror. It's not just a song that sounds good, but when I walk out of this place and the devil hits me this week, I have that seed, that word, that revelation in my spirit and in my mind. And when the devil huffs and puffs and comes against me, I know that I am more than a conqueror, because that's the word the Lord gave me this weekend. That's the word the Lord gave me in song, in prayer, at church. I became relentless with that revelation and with that word inside of me. And they continue steadfastly. In other words, they were working. You got to work this thing. You'll never have a successful church, successful marriage, a successful ministry, or a successful job if you don't put sweat and tears and work into it. We have the church of Jesus Christ. Us, a dynamic, spirit-filled church or community has to be relentless. When there is revelation, you strive. That's why, not most of y'all, but maybe not here in other churches, people just come for the worship and they leave for the word. Or they leave early. Or people just come, they come late, they leave early. Listen to me. You got to have some word in you. The only way you're going to be relentless, or have a relentless spirit, is if you have revelation in you. When the devil came to Jesus, Jesus didn't say, leave me alone. Jesus didn't say, stop bothering me. Jesus said, it is written. There is revelation. And when you fight the devil, you don't fight the devil in your own strength, in your own abilities. You don't fight the devil in your own opinions. You fight the devil with the word, with revelation. So to be relentless, you have to have revelation. And they were together. They continued steadfastly. They broke bread. And they were in prayer. Matthew 11:12. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That is saying, you know what that shows me? That shows me a relentless spirit. Somebody that doesn't give up easy. You're not wishy-washy. You're not wimpy. You're not flaky. But you are relentless in God. And when the devil attacks you, you attack back. When the devil throws something at you, you know how to be relentless. You know how to take it back by force. You're not going to steal my husband. You're not going to steal my children. You're not going to steal my health. You're not going to steal my finances. You're not going to steal my joy. I take it back. I'm a spirit dynamic filled church, and I believe God has given me a word and a revelation, and I take it back because I know God has promised it to me. Church, we have to be relentless. We have to take it back by force. I just want things to work out, brother. I just want things to be smooth. Oh, you got to fight. You got to go to the battleground. You know, we meet, we'll have 5:30 morning prayer. Sometimes we have more at 5:30 in the morning than we do right now, than we do in prayer service. You know why? Because those are people that are relentless in God. They just want God more than anything. Well, brother, I want things to flow. You got to go to the battlefield. You can't, whatever. I like what Brother Elias used to say. Church, we can't have a drug problem. Drug your church to church. Drug yourself to prayer. Drug yourself to worship. Drug yourself here to Sunday school. Drug yourself. You got to be relentless. Number three, to be a dynamic, spirit-filled community, we have to not just be relentless, but look at Acts 2:43. And there was a fear, an awe, an overwhelming feeling. The word fear there was a reverence. A spirit-filled community has reverence for the sacred, for the holy. There was an awe, a fear, a reverence for God's awesomeness, His majesty, His holiness, His purity, a reverence for the sacred. Not, most of us live in this world. Most of us work with people that are not saved. So we know what the secular is. But to be a church giving, a life giving, to be a church that's dynamic and spirit filled, there needs to be a reverence for God and for His church and for His people. You have to fear Him. Listen to me. This place is holy. This platform is holy. Your home should be holy. You know why there were signs and wonders? Because there were reverence to God. See, God would never show Himself when there is sin. God would never show Himself when there is contamination, when there is flesh. There were signs and wonders because there was a reverence. And listen to me. Even as we stand behind this pulpit, and my wife and I are not perfect, but from the musicians to the praise worship, the guys singing the songs, the girls leading us, the preacher, leaders, the deacons, ushers, those that are carrying the weight of this church, there needs to be an awe and a reverence for the sacred. If there is sin in the camp, you could sing good, you could play good, you could preach good, you could teach good, but there is no anointing. And it could be a lot of noise and a lot of talent, but there is no power that's changing. From the people from right here, from the pastors, from everybody that's up here, and I got to know I got my worship team up here, but everybody, for there could be signs and wonders, so there could be an explosion of the Spirit, there has to be holiness and a reverence to the things of God. Saying, God, I'm committed to this platform. I keep this platform holy because this is where He's going to move. If there's sin here, there will be no glory there. Well, Pastor, I can do what I want. You can't tell me what to do. And that's just who I am. And you better get used to that. That's just who I am. And, see, if there is sin, there could be talent, but there will never be transformation. So keep it holy. Keep it holy. Keep it reverence. I could stay there all day, and I want to, but I'm not. Because you're my first crowd, and I love you. Everybody comes at 11. Everybody comes at 11. Everybody comes after 10. Everybody comes. But you come here early. So I'm going to love on you. Acts 2:47. The fourth thing that needs to be, I put there, a reaching up. A reach up. There has to be... Notice what's happening in this congregation. And they were praising God, having favor with all people. But notice that first two words there. Because that needs to stay in your spirit this morning. And they praised God. They reached up. To be a spirit, dynamic spirit-filled community or church, we have to be a church that praises God. A church that worships, a church that takes time to tap into the eternal, to tap into the realms, spiritual realms, from power on high. We need to be a church that knows how to reach up and connect with God, a praising church. How many praisers are in the house this morning? How many worship God today? How many praisers? How many thank the Lord that there's still joy in your spirit? You're not one of those Christians that has to be motivated and they have to sing your song and they got to tickle you. No, the moment you walk into this place, you entered His gates with thanksgiving in your hearts, and you come in here with praise in your lips. You came in here to say, God, if nobody else praises you, if everybody else is asleep, if nobody in my bench says anything, I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to shout unto the Lord. I'm going to make some noise. I'm going to move the environment because I came to praise the Lord. Any praises in the house today? Oh, give God a praise this morning. Lift up His name. Loose a praise. Loose a praise in the atmosphere. Let the devil know that you're in an environment of praise. Amen. Y'all making me work this day. I call this the place of freedom. The place of freedom. You know, when you praise God, there's an atmosphere. I saw something in my office at the house is by the front door. So in front of my office, there are some plants and some flowers. And my mom one time said, I saw some hummingbirds. I said, I never seen those. So one time in my office, when I do study in my office, my wife says, why do you study in the bed? Because sometimes I get sleepy and I fall asleep. Well, who's studying in the office? Because you won't fall asleep. But I'm still, the Lord's dealing with me with that. Amen. I saw the hummingbirds, and they looked like just giant mosquitoes, the big,
you know, straw, whatever that thing is, peak, whatever, just straw. I have some handkerchiefs there. Give me one. And when I saw the hummingbird, I was like, wow, that's the one my mom's talking about. And it was like pink and yellow, and it was something that I've never, thank you, never really seen up close. I never seen it live. I've seen it on TV and, you know, in National Geographic Channel, but I've never seen it in books. But now the window was here. I was like, wow, it was there. And what I wanted to do was to take that hummingbird and say, ooh, come into my house. Come in my office and chill with me. And I wanted to catch it and bring it in, you know. I'm like some of y'all, I don't want to point, but some of y'all see stray dogs and you say, oh, another member of the family. But that's kind of how I felt with the hummingbird. And then I saw that hummingbird and I said, I'm going to try to get it and put it inside. And then I said, oh no, I can't do that. If I get the hummingbird and I put him inside, he's going to die. He needs to be in his environment and in what he's familiar with. He needs to be where he, in his element, where he was designed and made to be, around flowers, not in an AC office. And see, some of us, our element should be when we come to the house of God and say, I am now in my element. I am now in my place of life. I am now connecting to the people of God. I am now connecting to God. And you are in your element. Praise and worship, singing, getting excited, and lifting up our hands should not be strange to you. It should say, this is my element. If some of you get excited for sports teams, if some of you get excited for a raise, or maybe because it's Friday, the weekend's here, if you get excited for those things, the moment you get in God's house, get in your element and say, God, I'm in your place of freedom. I'm in your house right now. This is my element. This is where I produce life. This is where I'm excited and I get happy. This is my element. This is where I flourish. This is where I am injected life. This is where I see the glory. This is where I get revelation. Oh, how many are in their element today? Just go like this and say, God, I praise you because I'm in my element. I shine in my element. I got power in my element. I got victory because I'm in my element. Today, this day, this morning, in this service, I'm praising him because this is the best place for me. This is my element. This is my place of freedom. They praised up. They reached up. Now, I'll be honest with you. Not too long ago, we were in Chicago going to another conference they invited us to. I remember we flew and then we left, and that day I worked out, so I was sore. And then so I got on the plane, and my back was bothering me. And you know, when you're one of those flights, when the kids, you want to rest, you want to sleep. And I was working on my homework, and I was like, I'm going to study, and I'm going to take a nap, and I'm going to study some more. You know, by the time I get there, I should be done with my studying. But my back was hurting me, sore, and you got a baby crying. A demon-possessed baby crying. I just said, that baby was crying. That baby was crying. And I was like, oh, I can't study. I can't read. I can't sleep. So that was the flight. We get there, and we're starving. We're starving. We go to Giordano's Pizza. Is that right? Giordano's. Have you ever had Giordano's? You have Giordano's Pizza. Es del cielo. Pan del cielo. That's manna. That's... You got to have that. I should have put that on the screen. I'm promoting that. You got to have that. So we get there, and it's homemade pizza. We get there, and we're like all excited. You know, remember, I have bad flight. I'm cranky. I'm like, okay, pizza will cure all things. Giordano pizza will cure all things. Deep dish pizza, not the pie, not the pie. The deep dish pizza, big pizza. I'm like, I like the pie too, Michael. Okay, you know, we had that discussion. But they're both good. But at that time, I was in Chicago. So you do as the Romans when you're in Rome. So I'm here getting ready for the pizza. And they said, okay, we have service. We have to be at church in an hour. I said, can I get a slice of that pizza? And they looked at me like, oh, you must be a tourist. I said, ain't no rush here. When you order pizza, it takes at least an hour to make the pizza. I said, so sit down and wait. I said, we don't have an hour. So we leave. So I'm even more cranky. back, kids, homework, not, you know, no pizza. So, ni modo, we go change at the hotel, and boom, we take off to church. Now, where we get to service, and the church is booming. The church is jamming. It's jamming. Packed out. So here, we had pastor slips or pastor badges, so we were able to sit. They passed us to the front, but there were no seats. So they sit us in the back. So remember, I'm cranky kids, demon-possessed kids, and all that. So they're jamming, and I'm sitting there saying, I didn't get my pizza. Kid didn't let me study. And I'm there, and they're jamming. And all I could see is myself complaining, saying, till God got a hold of me, and God spoke to me while everybody else was praising, saying, you need to lift up your hands too. You need to raise the praise. You need to also get excited. And this is a pastor school. You're among leaders. If you don't do it, how do you want your church to do it? If you don't do it, if you got a bad attitude, how do you expect your church to have a good attitude? And the Lord got a hold of me, so I started praising Him. And sometimes that's what you got to do. No matter what you're going through, check your attitude at the door and say, God, I lift up. I am decided. I've come today to raise up the roof, to lift up a praise, to reach up. You'll never reach out till you know how to reach up. The last point is reach out. Acts 2:47, that praise God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added daily to the church. God has us here. You know what? Some of us are here. God has us here to reach out to this community. We had a lady come this week. We didn't know who she was. She was new. She came. She said, I need prayer. So we started praying for her in the office. I said, that's why we're here, to reach out to this community. People are suffering. We can't say, well, there's another church down there. There's a church by your house. We're here to reach out. And the problem many times is we want someone to reach to us, to reach unto us. When are they going to do this for me? When is the church going to recognize me? I've been here years, and I've done this, and nobody's ever clapped their hands for me, and I've done this. And we want somebody to reach to us when God is saying, I need you to reach out, to touch somebody else. And when there are changes, that's why people struggle with change. Because they're used to reaching in and not reaching out. And for us to be successful, to be a dynamic, spirit-filled community, we need to extend our hands out and say, there's new territories, new frontiers. There's some pioneering work that we need to do as a church. We need to reach out. The moment it's about you, the moment it's just me, what I feel, what it tickles me, what I like, you stop reaching out. You stop reaching up. And the worst place to be is to be in an environment where it's all about you, me, us. You know which the churches God blesses are the churches that reach out. And a lot of times why we don't want to reach out, because it causes, there's a sacrifice. You mean, I don't know if y'all saw this on Facebook, but we went to a new restaurant by the house called The Egg and I, and they got this big old pancake. I mean, it looked like a tire. I put that on Facebook, and I said, check out Melissa. She's about to tear that up. Big old pancake. But she cut it in half, and she ate half of it, and I ate the other half, but we had half left over. And then that other half, we're like, we'll eat it tomorrow. Okay, we'll get it ready for breakfast the next day. And then we come to church, and right here, you know, there's always homeless people around here. Hungry. Just need food. Pancake. Not my food. So I had to give. We gave them the pancake. Sacrifice. Sunday? It's another service? Do what? Come tonight? Come do the what? Do what? Pray? Come at prayer 5:30? Go fast? 21 days of fasting? What? And when we stop reaching out, we start dying as a church. We are no longer a spirit-filled community. And church, the only way we're going to grow And let me tell you now, don't get it confused. I am a reaching out pastor. It's not just for numbers. Because I know the need. I grew up in this neighborhood. So when God brought me back, God was showing me, I need you to reach out. I need you to reach back into the community where you were raised up. Give back. Because I want to bless you. I finished with this illustration, and would you help me have a quick ask that you stand. But I want to see, matter of fact, just raise your hands like this, like me. Just say with me, say, God, I reach up because I want to reach out. I want to be a dynamic, spirit-filled church. Help me to be alive, to produce life. I want to be the church of Jesus Christ. Let me say to some of you, there's some dead areas in your life. Some things are dying for you. Things are dying. They're drying. You're saying, when are things going to change? Connect to life. Connect to church. Connect to this pulpit. Connect to this platform. Connect to this altar. So you can have life in that marriage again. Life at that job, that business, life in your finances. I don't have the answers. I don't know what to do. But we serve a mighty God. And He's here to minister, to give you life. We're an organism. There's things shifting and changing. Your body changed as you grew. The church is growing, so they're shifting and changing, maturing. Because we're life is producing itself. Life, there's a reproduction of life. People are going to get saved. People are going to change. We're going to see a transformation. Because life is happening. And I prophesy to every person that's standing here that's raised their hand. Everyone that came this morning. I prophesy life to them. So life to them. Life. Life-giving experiences. You'll see joy. You'll see happiness. You'll see new things happening. Because life is coming home. Lord, we thank You for this service. Our time is...